I believe our Christian music is better than the music of the world. And there's some songs of the world I really love. How about you? Amen? Well, we want to welcome you here tonight. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which they can be saved, delivered, and healed. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And that means now, you know, cancer has to bow. Heart disease has to bow. All of these things have to bow at the name of Jesus. We've been given a great name, and God wants us to use it. Jesus said, from henceforth, you won't ask anything of me, but you'll ask my Father in my name. And that's the formula. That's the way that God says it will work for us. So we're so glad you're here. And I want you to know that you're special tonight. And I hope that somebody has already told you that they love you, because we love you. And Jesus, more important, Jesus loves you. And God the Father loves you. And God the Holy Spirit loves you. And there's no shortcomings. His hand is not shortened. There isn't anything God can't do. He's looking for a believer. He's looking for someone that will take him at his word, at his promise. For the promises of God are yea and amen to those that believe. I'm looking around for my Bible. I know it's in here somewhere. It's back here on this chair. Thank you, Barbara. Barbara, you are such a wonderful part of our family. Thank you for being part of our family. Amen? And so is every other one of you. Say, ole. That's true. I used to say, ameners. Remember that? You know, I would like to read a Bible verse out of Luke. Two of them, 21 and 25, verse 25 and 26. And it is so good. Springtime and the Word of God, they just seem to mix together. I'm having a wonderful spring, and I hope you are. And I am looking forward with great scrumptuality to Easter dinner on the grounds. How about you? Amen. Amen and amen. The word says in Luke 21, verses 25 and 26, and there shall be signs in the sun, and signs in the moon, and in the stars. In fact, the word Peter said in the book of Acts, I believe chapter 3, in his famous message, that they would turn red, that one-third of the light of the sun and the stars would be extinguished. Have an idea. Just think about what that's going to do to things that grow. It will affect them. Amen? Now, and it says, and upon the earth there will be distress of nations. If I've ever, the last 2 years of my life, I've asked the Lord, and for me, I've settled the question, are we in the tribulation period? And I believe we are in the beginning of the tribulation period. We're seeing worldwide perplexities and things toppling, governments, all kinds of things, ideas, and we're changing. And upon the earth, the stress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and they will be, more than they already have been. Many years ago when I got saved in 1971, Hal Lindsey had a book out called The Late Great Planet Earth, and he talked about how the earthquakes were increasing, and I mean they're just ever increasing. Now, you have to understand, pre-70, it wasn't like that. They've gotten worse and more intense and more frequent. Why? Because behold, the Lord is coming. The coming of the Lord is at hand, and we should all be ready. You know, by looking at this here, and what this is, I entitled this message, The Forecast. And this is a forecast. This is a foretelling of things to come and things that are here. You know, I like to watch Darby Bybee every evening during the week. And he does his forecasting. He's a meteorologist for Channel 40. And he tells you right there, be prepared. And we know, how many of you know that this season, at this time of the year, it's a terrible tornado season. We're included in that. Birmingham, Alabama has just had a horrific time with much damage and some loss of life. But he sometimes will say, you guys, it's time to get to your shelter right now. Time to get to this when it's really, really close. Now, I don't want to overdo it, but it's time to think about where your shelter is at least. See. Amen? Because things will get frequently more unpleasant. But it's a forecast. And I entitled this message, The Forecast, or Why Is This Happening to Me? You know, several weeks ago, I preached the message out of Matthew chapter 7 about what kind of a house we're building. Are we building it upon a rock, which is Jesus and his word, or are we building it on sand, which is other things? And the storms came and beat vehemently. Well, you know, in the word of God, it's quite clear, one thing, that this is not heaven. Now, there are times when we have heaven-like experiences, and those are good. Those are wonderful. I believe they come from the Lord. But this indeed, at this time, right now, this is not heaven. And God warns us, just like a weather forecast, to prepare. And that and if you're saying to yourself right now, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my health? Why is this happening to my finances? Why is this happening to my relationships? Why is this happening in my life? You know, quite recently, a few weeks ago, between services on a Sunday, Millie took a terrible fall, and she's damaged herself pretty bad. And I could have done that. I could have said, Lord, why me? But then, you know what? I remember I preached, it rains on the just and the unjust. See, it was a foretelling. It was a forecast. Sometimes terrible things are going to happen to us, and they may not make sense, and you may wonder why. But let me tell you, they happen to all of us, amen? And I owe it to everybody around me now, to especially to myself and my Heavenly Father, conduct myself as a believer who's going through a terrible, terrible time. I'm about to become a CNA. I don't want to tell you, because we're being recorded, everything that I can do now. Y'all, how many of you can relate and understand what I'm telling? Yeah. I never thought I'd have to do those things. But you know what? I love my wife. She's the most precious thing. Our doctor, Dr. John, told Millie today, you're one of the sweetest people I've ever met. And we want to make you as comfortable as possible. And there's a financial burden that's coming up. Millie is missing work, of course. She's about to retire here this year. Anyway, but nobody wants to be bedridden, and she can't do anything for herself. But I have chosen that this time would be special for Millie and I, and I thank God for the help from my daughters, from Kelly and Casey and Shelley, that have helped. And Mary has helped, and just a few people that have helped us at this time of our need. And we should be prepared for things. Now, how do you prepare? What do I mean? I mean that your relationship with God, your fellowship with the Lord, is in such a manner that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. See, that's not always the case to churchgoers. God's not looking for churchgoers. God's looking for sons and daughters. That's what he's looking for. And we're looking for churchgoers. Bring your friends. All of them. Even the rowdy ones, bring them. Even the ugly ones, bring them. Bring them all in here. If you would please put John chapter 16 and verse 33 up. And I just want to share this. This is what Jesus said. It's a forecast. It's a foretelling of things to come. And from time to time in this life, now see, we won't have that in the next life. There won't, sickness will not be on the other side of those pearly gates. Jesus will be. The tree of life will be. Everything good will be on the other side of those pearly gates. Who goes? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says this. When someone dies, everyone, their body returns to the dust, ashes, however you want to put it, and the spirit returns to the one who gave it for final processing. There'll be no plea bargains up there. There'll be no bribing the judges. It's just going to be what it is. Amen? Amen? Amen. And these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Can you have peace at times like this? Yes, you can. I've got a great measure of peace. I have to hold on to it day by day. In the trial Millie and I are going through right now, I have to hold on to it. But there's a peace. My peace I give unto you, the Lord said. Not as the world gives it. It's a different kind of peace. It's a peace in the storm. It's a peace that Jesus had when the storm was coming on the, and he was in the bottom of the ship sleeping. And his disciples said, Lord, we're about to die. Don't you care? And the Lord cared. And he just commanded that sea, and it stopped. You know, yesterday I had a day. I had to get a tractor ready to go. There were some things. I had to go to Russellville two times. I had to buy certain parts because I needed to do some plowing. And there's a time to plow, plant, water, and harvest. And you got to do them in sequence. Now is the time to break up your fallow ground. And I've been breaking up fallow ground at several places. And I thought to myself, I'm never going to make it. I was over in, coming back from Russellville, and I was talking with Brother Ernie, and I tried every place I could to find some parts. They had them in Boonville, and it was late in the day, and I didn't want to have to go to Boonville. See, it was my trial. And he said, well, what about, have you tried Atwood's in Clarksville? Man, I just happened to call them up, and it saved me about an hour and a half because they had the part that I needed right there. I was so, so grateful. And I just kept thinking as the day kept going on, my God, am I going to get to plow that field? I thought at the beginning, there's no way. I'll be lucky if I can get the parts and get them put on the tractor. And, and it was getting late in the day. And I got home. My daughter Kelly was there helping her mom. And I got those parts on that tractor, and I began to plow that ground. And I plowed it and plowed it. And I had about 30, 40 minutes left to go in the rain. It started raining over there. And I just pointed my tractor toward the west, and I just looked to the sky like I've done hundreds of times before. And I just said, like Elijah said, You're not going to rain now. You're going to stop. You're going to hold off now. Obey me in the name of Jesus, rain. That's how Christians talk to their problems. If anybody says unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he'll have whatsoever he saith. And I believed it, and it stopped until I got the whole field done. It blew my mind at the end of the day. And as soon as I drove in, and just like Mary has seen and some of you others, I think maybe the Jacksons were here, that night when the rain was just moving, the floods were just moving up here. And you know what? You can get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then if you know Christ, you can do something about it. You can take that name and use it. At the name of Jesus, water, you go back. Obey me. That's exactly what it did. Many, many times in my life, in this world, you will have tribulation. John 16:33. You will have it. It's going to come at times. And it's better, you know, is there anything wrong to have a flashlight and extra batteries in your house in case the power goes out? That's called preparation, right? How do you prepare a heart? You prepare a heart by knowing the Lord and telling him that you love him and telling him thank you on the days when everything is going peachy keen. Everybody say peachy keen in the name of Jesus. Now, that's how you build a relationship with God. You watch other people. There was a young lady came in here a few days ago. We were receiving some food, and I was asked to pray for her. And all of a sudden, God just showed me her heart. That doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, and it meant something to her. She was glad that she came in here, and we ministered to her. Not just me, but we ministered to her. And the thing to get away with this verse is to say, you will have tribulation at this time. And I'm not saying buy it and go out and invite it. I'm saying prepare for it. Prepare your heart. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. Prepare for that day when things don't go right. Amen? We had a helicopter hovering over our house that Sunday between services, getting ready to land. If it would have landed, there's no telling how much that would have cost us. And Millie was in there, and I just kept my mouth shut. She said, I'm not going in a helicopter. They said, what? You need a neurologist. She said, I don't need a neurologist. She said, I'm a registered nurse. You're not going to bully me into getting on a helicopter for about 80 grand or 60 or even 5 grand. She said, no, I'm going in an ambulance. That's exactly what happened. And I said to that guy, man, he said, I can't get a hold of him. He was right above us. I said, well, we're not getting it. And he finally got a hold of him, and he just flew back to Paris. But things happen, things that we don't expect. And I'm not saying live in fear over things and, oh, my God, bad things are going to happen to me. I'm saying prepare for them. It's a forecast, okay? It's a forecast. Put up, if you would, please. Job chapter 19 and verse 25. I like this verse. And when the grim reaper hits your house, and when the unfortunate happenings come to you, Job went through some horrific 41 chapters of horrific trials. His wife said, man, curse God and die. God's not with you. But see, that nothing could have been further than the truth. And I have to believe this because the word says it. I won't let the devil put anything on you that's greater than that's greater than you can stand. But only that part will be on you that will make you a better person. Because tribulation and disappointments, that helps you. You know what? There are no atheists in foxholes. Amen. Everybody prays. When the bad guys is about to kill you with their bayonet or their bullets. Amen? Well, while we're in here, lifting up our hands and singing the songs of praise and worship to the Lord, now's the time to get it in your heart. I'm going to just ask you without you answering me, do you know that your Redeemer is alive? Do you know that your Redeemer liveth? Do you know it? Because Job, see, this verse here is in the middle of the book of Job. And in the middle of the book, he said, I'm going to tell you something. I know my Redeemer's alive and that I wasn't blessed by myself. I know it. He had three friends that were trying to help him, telling him all the reasons. Well, you did this, Job, and you did that. And Job just said, no, you don't know. And they said, oh, confess. They said, well, that's just not so. But there was one thing he knew for sure. He knew his Jesus was alive. Do you know your Jesus is alive and has power? That's what it's going to take. That you know your Jesus is alive. You know that you're special. You know that he died for you. You know that he can be everything he said you can be. You can have everything he said you can have. You can go everywhere he said you can go. Nothing can stop that. Nothing at all. Now in Job 23, verse 10, Job said something else that I really love. God knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, you know everything. You know that life down here is a trial. It's called the trial of our faith. And the Bible says it's more precious than gold. It's worth more than gold. It's worth more than a cattle on 1,000 hills. It's worth more than anything. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as pure gold. In the middle of his trial, with losing all of his children, losing his health, terrible growths on his body, taking a piece of broken clay and scraping his body, he said, I'm going to come out on the other side of this. And I'm going to come out as pure gold. In other words, there's going to be a change, even for the better. I'm going to be stronger. You know, I'm not perfect and I'm not proud of that, but I'm going to tell you something. You should have seen me when I started. And I'm stronger. And I can carry the load and I can give somebody a word. I can lay hands on somebody and they'll be healed. I can go visit people and they're glad that I came. Last place tonight. You have to understand, this is the way that the word works. This is the way your life works as a believer. Isaiah 48 and 10 says this. Behold, the literal says this, I've refined you like you do silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Now, what's the difference between the losses of a believer and a non-believer? It's really cut and dry. And this is what it is. Your doses of storms and bad happenings are measured out, and Satan cannot go above and beyond. And when that's not the case in your life, I was talking with a brother the other day, and I remember many years ago the Lord giving me a revelation, saying, you know, Lord, son, I'm not keeping up with everybody. So what does that mean, Lord? He said, well, there's some people. He said, have you not read that Jesus will sit on the throne? We must all appear before the great white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, people will come and they'll tell their spiel. And they'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And according to the Bible, there's more that he doesn't know right now than that he does know. Why? Because it's written, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. See, and you know what? Everybody finds the Lord that's looking for the Lord. If you're looking for some kind of a sidetrack, if a person is looking for some, they might not end up with Jesus. And you know what? Jesus Christ, don't leave home without him. We don't want to leave here without Christ. Amen? Well, we love you. And this word, like the song we sang tonight, Lord, prepare me. Lord, everybody here tonight, in the name of Jesus, prepare us, Lord, every heart that's willing, every heart that's here because they love you. even more than the things that you give them. They love you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, be with them. Help them. Help them to know who they are in the Lord. Help them to feel your spirit. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us every day. Everything that we do during communion is scriptural. And the Bible says, let a person examine themselves and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So I'm going to invite you to this altar, or to be at your, make an altar there. And of course, you've got a free spirit.